Welcome to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast, where women with ADHD finally feel seen, understood, and unapologetically themselves. If you have ever felt like you're too much and not enough all at the same time, you're in the right place because that's the alchemy, learning how both come together to make something priceless. I'm Jessica Covington, holistic ADHD coach and fellow fancy brain, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. Welcome to ADHD Alchemy. Guess what? It's more than just a podcast. It's also my signature coaching program at Fitology. I built it for bright, sensitive women who are tired of feeling scattered and chaotic and ready to feel calm, clear, and finally in control. Inside the program, whether it's group or private, you'll finally drop the mask and start thriving. Together, we'll quiet that relentless inner critic, the one that keeps you feeling stuck and incompetent, and finally begin redefining ADHD on your own terms. In just a few weeks, you'll find yourself grounded, confident, and leading your life with intention by learning to work with your fancy brain instead of against it. So this is where real lasting change starts on day one in a community of others who think the same way you do. If that speaks to you, find more at fitology.com, and that link, of course, will be in the show notes. Today, I'm so excited to speak with Ryan Veek. Ryan heads up the Pause and Relax private dog park that lets dogs and their humans enjoy off-leash time together in a safely stimulating environment. Her ADHD journey has been full of ups and downs since childhood. And like so many of us, she struggled with the contrast between knowing deep down that she has some smarts and also feeling like they don't show up when she needs them. So I'm really honored to have Ryan here sharing some real and raw stories from the heart that I know will touch yours too. Ryan, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thanks. I'd love to start out with your story about mini adventures. Tell us what you mean by mini adventures.
I guess I started calling them to make it, a little bit to make errands or just going out with my son a bit more fun and less mundane. but it's just whenever we have somewhere to go, I'm just like, let's go on an adventure and just see what happens, whether it's going to the grocery store or going to the park. There was, one time recently where my sister was in town and she joined us, and we had kind of like an idea of what we needed to do, and she's an engineer, so she has a definitely different mindset than I do, but it's nice that we kind of complement each other in that. And we just went from one thing to the next, and it was just like, well, let's just do this. This didn't go how we thought, so we'll just do this instead. And, and she just came back afterwards and she was like, thanks for such a fun, random day. And I was like, really? Like, that just, things just don't pop up and occur like just on your average Sunday for you? I don't know. And then I started thinking more about it, and I was like, I guess every day is a little bit of a mini adventure when you're open to it. You never know what could happen. And it just, it made me thankful for a way that I was just like, oh, I guess that is a fun way to live life, to have a different perspective from someone.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that you said that. I do think of it as being one of the great strengths of the kinds of brains we have. We're open to pivots and spontaneity and a sense of adventure. I used to do the very same thing with mine when they were little. We would go on adventure days, and I even made up a song for each child when we were lucky enough to have one-on-one adventures. And so I would sing them the song as we were pulling out of the driveway, and they're teenagers now. They're 17 and 18 now. And I still do that. And it is mortifying to them. they used to think it was the greatest thing. And now they think it's the worst ever, but it's still fun. It's still an adventure.
Oh yeah. No, I love it. And it teaches they might not know it, but I'm sure it'll stick with them.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope. So, being here in this kind of forum and getting really candid about ADHD is, it's not always the most comfortable thing for everybody. So, I just want to take a second to acknowledge that you are doing something really brave and in the service of others, because I know that other people are listening and they're going to relate to a lot of your story. I'm curious to hear you're doing this with the intention to grow. So I'm curious to hear where you want that growth to take you and where you really want to be and how you really want to feel in the future.
Well, I haven't given, as far as an endpoint, much thought. I guess that's how these things go. But it was more of, it just kind of hit me, that I was just stagnant, and I felt stagnant just in a lot of aspects of life. And then, our son, he's 4, he's gonna start school soon, and he's observing so much more. And I was like, I don't want him to feel stagnant. I don't want him to be afraid of growth. And I was like, so if I don't, he's gonna need to learn by seeing. And also, I want to grow and I want to experience things. And I've read, one of the best ways to do that, and from, I guess, my own experience, is when you're put yourself in uncomfortable situations, that is one of the best ways for you to grow, because it's not something you're used to, and you learn how you react. And sometimes you're like, wow, I can do that. Or, okay, maybe I didn't do that well, but I did it and I survived. Nothing bad happened. And so it's, I guess it's important for me, for him, to see that and learn from that. And also important for me, because it's, life is fun. So what's, let's just see what else I can do. And I'm also tired of being afraid of trying things, because I would always think like someone else could do that better. And who cares if someone else can do that better? I still want to do it. I have every right to do it. So why not? So this is kind of the beginning of that journey. So yeah, and also the pause and relax, the dog park was part of that too. I would see other people do it, and I was like, that sounds great. And I was like, no one's gonna come to my area though. And I was like, doesn't matter. Let's just see what happens. And don't have a ton of visitors, but the ones we have, I absolutely love, and it fills my heart, and that makes it worth it. And I love seeing my son get excited to see the dogs come visit.
Yeah, exactly. That breaking out of the comfort zone and getting away from stagnation, proving to yourself you can do it, is all a way of sort of talking back to that inner critic that, just like you said, it come pipes up at the worst possible moments and says, "Who's going to want to come to your yard? Or who's going to want to listen to your podcast?" Or those kinds of really cruel things. What you're doing is taking action directly against that. And I think it's beautiful.
Oh,
Fantastic.
thank you.
What
And I
are
have
your
to give a
biggest
shout out
challenges
to my.
recently? No, go ahead. You should shout
Oh.
out to.
My husband, who has also been very supportive in this as well, because it's not always very structured. And yes, so he has been very supportive and helpful in that regard. So yeah, I would be re remiss if I didn't mention him in this journey.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's so important. Thinking about your biggest challenges recently, whether they're at home or at work or even in your own mind, what comes up for you as being the most massive?
I mean, it's hard to, I mean, I guess the day to day, in a sense, I'm not very great with structure. And then, so still learning that you need to, especially when you have a kid, they crave that. So trying to work with that is a challenge, but also, but. Yeah, I mean, just putting things kind of coherently, like outside of my head, I think is probably my biggest challenge, as is evidence right now. Because I have a form and I get by and I get used to it, but then creating a certain structure within that is difficult. So I would say that is something that is has definitely been hard with me, especially with the kid. Like, you have to have some structure because you never know what's going to happen, which is great, but it's also like you need a reset or rebalance so that you can not just keep tumbling backwards, you can go forwards.
Do you find, like a lot of us do, that logically you know that there's a need for structure and it benefits you when you have it? And also, the minute there is any structure, even if you've created it yourself, you want to rebel against
Oh yeah, I rage against it in a very,
it.
not rage way, but that's what I call it. Which when I was trying to explain it to someone, it was just, but you also, I need it. And it's, so yeah, it's a challenge and it's a constant, especially just even like washing my face, like to get in a structure and habit of doing that, especially as you get older, it gets more important, I suppose. And it's just like, how do people do this every day?
It's a real struggle. I think to your point, and something we were talking about before we jumped on the air, the idea of having a framework as a structure that gives you a little bit of a foundation to start from, but also allows for some wiggle room in between is really helpful to a lot of us in finding that balance between, I know I need the structure, but I hate it. There
I
is
will.
a go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, so there's just one example where I know where I have to. So there's like three rooms in the house that like I cannot handle a mess because, like, I guess my brain just will shut down. It's like, I know it's like our closet is always good, closet is always clean, my son's room always good, and the kitchen is almost always good, except for like immediately after, cooking. Because I realize, like, if those places aren't, I will shut down. So it's just like that's the structure, I guess, that I know I have, and then the stuff that I know that I don't necessarily have to have is where the loose ends kind of. Kind of happen. And so, but it's like your brain knows. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like one of those strategies, a coping mechanism that you have come up with for yourself without even really, maybe not even really knowing what you were doing at the time, but
No, I
just
didn't.
the ability to have those three spaces, calm, visually calm, and clear of clutter is enough to make you feel settled so that maybe other things can flex a little bit. I think that kind of flows into the next question I want to ask, which is about the feeling that it's a thing, any kind of thing, can look so easy for everybody else, and
Yeah.
our tendency to beat ourselves up because it doesn't feel that easy for us. That seems to be a huge hurdle that almost all of us face at some point. I grew up undiagnosed until my mid-40s, and for most of that time, I felt like because of this discrepancy, I felt like I wasn't that bright, except for certain rare lucky breaks that I didn't even attribute to my own ability. I attributed them to, again, just luck. So I wonder, has that kind of feeling played a role for you? And if so, how do you respond in those moments when something looks so easy for everybody else and feels so hard for you?
It's frustrating for sure. I will say that might be actually one of the benefits of being that I think I was diagnosed around when I was 10, it was fifth grade, so 9 or 10 or so. And was on medication for a little bit, hated it. My parents let me come off, which was, amazing, that they listened to me and they did that. And then, I guess I learned that I was different in a sense. And so I had my best friend in high school who ended up being our valedictorian, and she's incredibly smart. And I always thought that, I'm pretty smart too. I'm okay. She always made better grades. That was fine. I knew there was like some, but then like she would just like say, "Oh, I only studied for like half an hour." And I was like, "Oh, I guess I only need to study for like half an hour." Well, no, that was just like, I learned the hard way in high school that that didn't work for me. And while I found it unfair and frustrating, I just learned that doesn't work for me. And if I want to make the same, not the same grades, she was valedictorian, but if I want to make good grades, and be true to myself, I have to figure out what's going to work for me. And her 30 minutes, I think I probably had to study like three times as much as her. I think I kind of like compared it in my head, probably not healthy. But that helped me learn like, okay, just because I'm different and I have to study more doesn't mean I can't get comparable, to someone who has it easy or does it easy. I just have to figure out what was my way. And that took a lot. By high school, by 16, I think I was on medicine again, and that also helped me figure out how to study and figure out how to learn. And then I could also take that from when I wasn't on medicine because I was able to kind of figure it out. So it definitely makes you feel less, but you shouldn't. I mean, it's easy to say. I mean, you see it in the adult world now, but then once you get into the adult world, you're like, everyone's different. Everyone has different strengths. Doesn't mean it's not incredibly frustrating that you think that could be your strength, but it's not because you have a wall in front of you. But that's, I guess, kind of what I'm doing now is I'm trying to figure out how to break down that wall. So, but it beats you down. And I think just being able to get up and not let it keep you down is a huge step. And it's a hard
100%.
lesson. I should be further along in my career than I am, but that's fine. I'm here, I'm standing, have a family, and mostly happy. So, yeah.
Yeah. And if it's okay, I just want to put on my coaching hat just for a moment here
Yes,
and
please.
talk about that last sentence of yours.
I know it was
That last
terrible.
sentence of yours that, no, not terrible at all. Enlightening. Because what you said was, and I'm going to butcher the paraphrase, but you said should. I noticed the word should in there. Further along, I could be further along in my career or, oh
Right.
goodness, now I'm forgetting completely what you said. But that concept of should and the notion that we're falling down on expectations of some sort, whether they're ours or someone else, there's a great reframe for this because the word should is an automatic red flag that almost every time, whatever the message of should is coming from somebody else. It's somebody else's voice inside your head.
Yeah.
It might be a second grade teacher or a parent or, a middle school bully. It's always somebody else placing that on you when it didn't necessarily belong on you in the first place. So the reframe that I would invite you to try out next time you hear the word should come up from your inner critic is to change it to could instead. Could opens up this whole new world of possibilities and feels a whole lot less judgy and shamey and blamey than should. It gives you
Yeah.
like it feels more like another way to look at it instead of an indictment of something that you did wrong. What do you think of that?
No, I mean, definitely sounds much, much healthier. And yeah, it's, I don't know, as I was saying it, I was just, you bring yourself up and then it's like, then you knock yourself back down, So I do, reframing the mindset is something I could do better, for
There you
sure.
go. Oh, there you go. Already in use. Yeah, I think
Trying.
that it can be an endless cycle, the bring yourself up and knocking yourself down, and how great would it be to step out of that cycle once and for all with It's a practice for sure. It's not an overnight change, but they can be really small incremental changes, as simple as changing should to could. Those kinds of things done over time can really help you break long-standing kinds of patterns that keep you stuck in cycles you don't necessarily want or need.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Awesome. You mentioned before the idea of keeping those three special spaces in your home relatively clutter-free, organized, contained, and so on. Can you think of any other kind of routine or system that really has worked best for you, or something you've tried because you felt certain it would work and it was just a complete mess?
Well, that could be anything. let's see. Well, one thing, so cooking. I'm not a, I don't cook. My husband, he does the cooking. And then I think one reason why I also was afraid of like cooking, is afraid of making a mistake. Because if you make a mistake, then it's just ruined. And you gotta throw it all away. And you waste all the food and you waste the money buying the food. And then, so I never challenged myself in that area. And then recently, well, it was before Finn was born. So maybe 2018 night. So probably too late, too long in life. But that's fine. I got there eventually. I was just like, I'm tired of not being able to do this. I need to do it. So I started with like baking. And I learned quickly that I will make mistakes. I will leave out baking soda or I will leave out something. And that's okay. It either tastes a little funny, you get through it, or you start over. And that's also okay. And now I have like my staples that I can make. I do try a bit more with baking. I'm still a little bit scared of, cooking meats mostly. I don't trust my ability. Anyway, that's what my husband, when I do want to cook something with meat, I make sure he checks all that. But it was definitely, I mean, I made hash brown casserole for someone and I think I left out like, this was for like after like their mother had passed. Oh, I felt awful because I forgot the sour cream or something essential to the casserole. And I had to and I took it over and they started eating it and then it hit me. But they still ate it and they still, I mean, it hit me that I had forgotten it. And I was like, okay. I mean, I told them, but they're like, no, still good. We'll still eat it. And I was like, okay. And so, it was fine. Nothing crazy happened. There were no terrible repercussions. And I learned from that. It's just, yeah, things will go haywire and it will happen. So just don't get too attached. But I also I recently got nesting dolls for or serving measuring cup nesting dolls. And so I try now to put everything out, especially for baking, because some stuff like the eggs need to sit out a little bit and try to have everything set up. So I see it, it's in front of me, and then that makes sure it gets used. And I know, oh, I haven't used that yet. It might be a little bit late in the process, but that's okay. It's probably fine. I'm not like trying to win any awards. So that's actually been a big help. And my mom taught me that. She was like, have everything out. And I was like, when I was complaining about forgetting things, she's like, just have it out, have it in front. So that works for me. Which a good is for baking. Cooking, I know, is a different animal and, we'll get there.
I love that. That's a great strategy. I'm going to borrow that if you don't mind.
Yeah, can't, it was my mom, but I use it in the nesting dolls. Those were great because they're cute and they're small, so they don't take up a lot of counter
Yeah.
space.
Love it. Fantastic. So, one more question. I'm curious, what's feeling really important for you right now in this stage of life? What do you want more of, or less of, or clarity around?
I mean, I you know touched on it a little bit earlier. Just really trying to set what's a good example for my son. That's very important to me because I don't want him. I mean, everyone's going to have their trial and tribulations, and that's how he's going to grow. But I don't want him to be scared or timid, I guess, like I was, or thinking anyone else deserves it more, or they have a right to try this and I don't. So that's very important for me to set that example. And then in the meantime, it's very important to me that I do that because this is my life and I want to just experience what it has to offer. As far as, again, I goals, that's definitely, that is something I could do better. But right now I'm just kind of just pushing myself just to do it and see, because I've been afraid for too long and I don't want to be anymore. At least I don't want to be so afraid that I don't try. I mean, I'm not going to go sky diving. That's fine. I don't need that. But just try for make like this, just making myself vulnerable and just try and push myself and grow. And I've realized on a few things that when I've tried to do it and you come out, it's invigorating. You're like, wow, that felt great. So that's kind of just, it's just, I guess my goal right now is just trying to live life as much as I can and set the example.
Well, I can't think of a better goal at all. And congratulations on
Yeah.
taking a big step toward that today, just by being here.
Yes. Thanks. It's hitting me. I'm definitely more excited about it than I realized. So thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for sharing all of your stories. I have said it before and I'll say it again. I just know that there's somebody else out there who really needs to hear this, and it's coming straight to their heart today, and letting them know that they're not alone in the way that they think and feel. So thank you again.
Yeah, of
And for those
course.
who want to know more about Paws and Relax Dog Park so that they can take their dog privately to this
Pause
beautiful space, how can they find you?
and Relax, Private Dog Park. We are on Instagram right now is where you can, I guess, find the links to make a booking. There's two platforms that we're on. One is SniffSpot and the other one is Roam. And both of the links are there on, I guess it's called the landing page of Instagram or the home page. But yeah, I mean, even if you just want to follow or just check us out, that would be great. We love to see the doggies. We've got toys and treats, water, privacy, birds. So yeah, we'd love to have anyone and their dog.
Excellent. And their dog.
Yeah,
I'll be
of
sure
course,
those go in the show
the
notes
dog. Yeah.
as well. Thank you so much for your time, Ryan. It's really been great.
Yeah, thank you. This has been amazing.
And here's today's lab kit, three ideas from this episode that you can start using right away. First up, we have the Tiny Courage Challenge. Pick one thing this week that feels a little uncomfortable. Maybe it's an email you have to send, a question you need to ask. Maybe it's trying a new class or introducing yourself to someone new or wearing an outfit that looked great on the rack, but now you're a little unsure about it. Don't aim to be fearless. Instead, aim for doing it anyway, despite the fear, through the fear, because every time you survive a small stretch, your brain collects evidence that you're capable of more than your inner critic believes. Your brain is always searching for evidence to confirm what it thinks inside. So, what we want to confirm is that you are braver than you think and you can do stuff even when you're a little bit uncomfortable. Number two, rename an errand. I love how Ryan noticed that she can call ordinary things with her son mini adventures. And that simple shift changes the entire experience because it changes the way we think about it. So this week, rename something that's boring. Maybe a grocery run becomes a treasure hunt, or walking the dog is really a safari. Folding laundry could be a reset ritual, or picking up prescriptions could be a health mission. Notice how changing the story changes your willingness to start it. And finally, we have building one anchor space. So Ryan noted that there are three places in her home that have to stay reasonably calm because her brain works better when they do. And I would venture to say that at least most, if not all of us, are like that. But instead of trying to organize your whole entire house at once, just choose one small area. Maybe it's your desk or a bedside table or a kitchen counter. Protect it for 1 week. Keep it tidy. Do a daily reset if you need to, because sometimes creating calm in one tiny corner is enough to create calm in your mind. And once you begin to notice the benefits of that, you'll begin to naturally expand the calm spaces and build onto that. That's your ADHD Alchemy Lab Kit for today. I hope you'll try one of these experiments and let me know how it goes. Awesome. Thanks for listening to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast. If you're nodding along and thinking, oh, yeah, that's me, then please subscribe and share this episode with another woman who gets it. Your reviews help more women discover they're not failing. They're just wired differently. And that is a good thing, despite the challenges. Plus, I want to hear your story. Apply to be a guest at myadhdalchemy.com and join my free community at fitology.com/community. Those links will be in the show notes. Together, we can rewrite the ADHD shame story into one of strength. I'll see you next time.